Hey everybody, Pastor Stephen Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, here with Anselm, and we are now in chapter 8 of the Homeric Greek book by Clyde Farr. There's a link to download a PDF of the book in the description. It's in the public domain. It's from 1920, so that way you can work through the book at home. We're assuming that you've already learned the vocabulary for the lesson, and we're going to go through the grammar, the exercises, and so forth. So what we're learning about in this lesson are relative pronouns over here and demonstrative adjectives over here. Now, at first, this might seem a little bit overwhelming, like there's just a lot of information here, but really, these are patterns that you should already be really familiar with, so it's actually pretty easy to learn these. Like, the relative pronouns, if you look at them, they basically are just all the endings that you've been learning, all of the first and second declension, noun, adjective endings that you've been learning, but they're just like an ending floating by itself. So when you're reading the text of Homer and you run into just like an ending floating around by itself with the rough breathing mark, then you're probably looking at a relative pronoun. Okay. So what is a relative pronoun? Well, let me give you some examples of this in English to make it a little bit easier to understand. So for example, if I were to say, "He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God," right? Or if I said, "I gave it to the man who was waiting outside." Okay. So the who there is the relative pronoun. Or get in the car that is in the driveway. The word "that" is the relative pronoun.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So basically, the biggest thing to remember when you're dealing with relative pronouns is that they actually get declined according to their syntax within their own relative clause. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that, okay? So I'll write out an example so that you can easily see this, okay? So let's say I wrote, "He whom God has sent speaks the word of God," right? Okay, so "he whom God hath sent speaketh the word of God." The words of God, right? So basically, here's what's going on. The relative clause here is "whom God has sent," right? Because you have a sentence here. The meat of the sentence is "he speaks the words of God." This right here is a relative clause of characteristic telling you something about the "he." What "he" are we talking about? We're talking about the "he whom God has sent." And in this relative clause of characteristic, this word is the relative pronoun. Okay. Now, notice that I've written the word "whom," not "who." "Whom" is the object word. Because if we look at this clause in and of itself, the subject of the clause is God. God has sent him.
Yeah, right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because we're not talking about a guy who did any sending. We're talking about a guy who has been sent. So, "he whom God has sent." Okay. So, even in English, this gets declined to be the object in this situation because it's "God has sent him." God has sent whom? God has sent him. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, notice, "he" right here is the nominative. Now, remember, what is a pronoun? I mean, a pronoun takes the place of a noun. It's pointing us back to a noun that's its antecedent, right? Well, right here, the "whom" is pointing back to the "he," which is another pronoun, which, of course, eventually points back to the Son of God in the passage in John chapter 3. But the point is that even though "whom" is standing in for "he" here, "he" is nominative because he's the subject of the sentence. But the relative pronoun is accusative because within its clause, it's the object.
I see.
Even though it's pointing to a word that's the subject in the main clause. I hope that makes sense. Does it?
Do you have a question? Yeah. It does make sense.
You got it, right? So it gets declined according to its place in the clause. And we'll go through the Greek sentence examples, and then it'll become more obvious. So let's do an opposite example, okay? So we could do an opposite example in English where we say something along the lines of, okay, let's say give it to, or how about this? Just send the man. Okay, so send the man. Mm-hmm. So man is the object. So if this were Greek, what case would man be in? If this were Greek, direct object.
Oh, accusative.
Yeah, so that would be accusative in Greek, right? So like, send the man who wanted to go. Right? Send the man who wanted to go. So here's my relative clause. Okay. Now, in this case, it's not whom, it's who. It's pointing to something that's accusative. Okay. But within its clause, it's nominative. It's the subject. Who wanted to go? He wanted to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So that's kind of an opposite example. Or sometimes, you know, they could agree with one another. Like if we said, for example, you know, send the man whom I have chosen. Mm-hmm. Right? And then they're both accusative. Accusative, accusative. But the main thing is that it is the case of its syntax within the relative clause.
Yep.
Okay. I'm not trying to make it complicated. So if that went over your head, don't worry about it, because once we see the Greek examples, you'll understand what I'm saying. Okay. So now let's look at the forms themselves. So relative pronouns right here. Okay. Again, it's all of the first declension feminine endings for our feminine that we know, with the exception here, the dual just all looks the same all the way across the board.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But basically, the first declension feminines that we're familiar with, just endings floating around by themselves with a rough breathing and an accent, that's a relative pronoun. And then our second declension, masculine and neuters. So it seems like a lot of information, but you really already know all this if you've been learning the endings, right? Okay, now let's move over here to demonstrative adjectives. Now, let's say we were learning another dialect of Greek. Let's say we were learning Biblical Greek, or modern Greek, or classical Greek, or something like that, something later, then we would look at this and say, what does this look like to you? What do these look like right here?
It looks like articles.
Yeah, it just looks like the word the, right? It looks like the definite article.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is exactly like the definite article right here. And then this is just like the definite article. So what's going on? Well, guess what? There is no definite article in Homeric Greek.
Yeah.
So when you see these words in Homeric Greek, you're going to think sometimes that they're a definite article if you're used to Attic Greek or Byzantine Greek or some other dialect. But when we're dealing with Homeric Greek, there is no definite article. There is no indefinite article. There are no articles. So therefore, when you see these, they are demonstrative adjectives, not articles. What is a demonstrative adjective? It is simply the word this or that.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, if I were to see in a later Greek dialect, if I were to say, you know, o themos, that's a word we've been using a lot in these lessons, right? You know, you'd think it's the spirit. But because we're in Homer, what do you think it's going to be?
This spirit.
This spirit or that spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's stronger, has more force to it, like this whatever or that sea or this city or whatever. Okay? So anyway, again, if you have learned other dialects of Greek, you'll know this as the definite article. Or if you're starting with Homeric Greek, when you move on to later dialects, you already know the definite article because this is what it's going to look like later. But we need to realize in Homer that it's functioning differently. But again, how is this thing formed? Well, as you'll notice, it's pretty much almost the same as our endings or our relative pronouns. It just pretty much has a tav on the beginning of almost every word, with the exception of these right here, these two right here, and possibly these two. Sometimes they do have the tav, as you can see in the parenthesis there. But you pretty much just take your endings and stick a tav on the front of it. So again, learning these two charts is way easier than you would think. All right? So now let's go ahead and get into the Greek to English exercises. All right, so we've got our first Greek sentence here. Dios ekivolos aftos aidi al uch andani alisi theisi thimo. So what does this mean, Anselm? You want to translate that?
So the divine Ekivolos free shooter.
It's like a sharpshooter or someone who shoots from afar, long distance. So I would just say like sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter.
Yeah.
The divine sharpshooter himself.
Yep.
sings.
Yep.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't please the other gods, like, you know, their heart.
In their spirit, yeah, exactly. So which letter is elided here?
The alpha.
Alpha is missing. Allah means but. And then this right here, in modern Greek, when you see aftos, you might think of this as the personal pronoun he.
Yeah.
But as you correctly translate it, it's going to be self here. So the divine sharpshooter himself sings, but he does not please the other gods in their heart. Okay, kini achei atimazosi tus theus.
These Greeks dishonor the gods.
Exactly right. All right, how about o ekivolos pebi nuson kakin anastraton acheon ke kakos oleki kinon laon unekaton atimazosin.
The sharpshooter sends a really bad pest.
Pestilence is probably better, yeah.
Up through the the army of the Achaeans.
Yep.
And wickedly kills that people.
Yep.
Because they don't honor him.
Right,
they dishonor him.
They dishonor him.
Yeah.
Now, that's him is a good translation for this. This is our demonstrative, what we saw as, we learned it as the demonstrative adjective,
yep.
Okay? But when it stands alone like this, you know, because it's not acting as an adjective, like it's not modifying where we would do like this or that. So if it's just by itself, like you did, you would just translate it as him. But it's not the word the, right? Because we don't have the word the in Greek.
Yeah, but
we have to supply that. So yeah, it's because they dishonor him. Perfect. All right, so number four. Uk atimazomen tus theus I echusi skiptra chrysia.
We don't dishonor the gods who, it's a relative pronoun.
Yep, exactly.
Have the golden scepters, golden staffs.
Yep, golden scepters, exactly. So this is our first relative pronoun here, and as you can see, it's referring back to what word?
To Theus.
Theus. And Theus is accusative, but our relative pronoun is nominative because it is the subject of its relative clause. I echusin skiptra chrysia. Okay. So, yeah. There we go. You can see it in the wild here. All right. Number five. O ekivolos teke I ali thei ferusi chrysia skiptra kala.
Both the sharpshooter and the other gods bear the beautiful golden scepters.
Yep, they bear beautiful golden scepters, exactly. All right, and then this is a question. Tis tefhi ta skiptra chrysia tisi theis thalassis. Tis tefhi ta skiptra chrysia tisi theis thalassis.
Who makes the golden scepters tisi theis? I'm not sure about that. Tisi.
It's basically the same demonstrative adjective that we see here and here, you know, which I think we said the here, which is probably fine in the context, but really, you know, just so that we understand, it is a demonstrative adjective, so it's really like that sharpshooter and those other gods would be a better translation, you know what I mean? And then this is basically who See, we're so used to reading later Greek, you know. Yeah. We just want to say the, but it's like, who makes those
golden scepters
for these or those
gods
of the sea? So it's tempting to just want to say the, and honestly, a lot of times that's an okay translation to say the. But it's just that that's because we're looking at this out of context. Yep. When it's actually in the context, you'll see that these are pointing to specific people and places, because it's not just the word the, because it's usually going to be left out unless there's a reason to hearken back to something and say, like, well, this sharpshooter or those gods. You understand what I'm saying?
Got it, yeah.
So that's what's going on there. All right, next. Aidi ekivolos aftos vulas alon theon tisin acheisin.
Does the sharpshooter seeing himself, the plans or the counsels alon theon tisin of other gods to those Achaeans?
Yeah, exactly. So, does the sharpshooter himself sing the plans of the other gods to those Achaeans, right? And then down here we've got Isin I Achei Kali I Olekusi ton straton keusite tas piras.
Are those Achaeans good? Are those Achaeans good who kill who both kill the army and light the pyres?
Yeah, and you don't really have to say both with te.
Okay.
You really don't even have to say it up here, because it's not always really that strong. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's a good translation, but teke, sometimes it's just and.
Okay.
And te comes after. So right here with this one, you know, it's, are those Achaeans good who, there's our relative pronoun, right? Who kill or destroy, they destroy that army and burn those pyres. Mm. They burn those pyres, right? Okay, now what's going on here? We got a word with two accents in it, okay? Here's what's going on with that. This word te right here is called enclitic, which means leaning backward. Okay. Notice that it does not have its own accent.
Right.
So words with no accent can be proclitic, leaning forward, or enclitic, leaning backward. So this leans on the word before it, and what that means is that with respect to accent, it's almost like it's part of this word with respect to accent. Mm-hmm. So normally we'd have keusi, but if we have keusite, if we added this to the word, then this would be like fourth from the last, and it's impossible to have an accent fourth from the last syllable.
Yeah,
it can only be third from last. So keusite isn't going to work. Unless you're in Cyprus. In Cyprus, they don't have that rule, and they do when they have enclitics, they'll just say keusi, you know. And then, but the vast majority of Greeks, they don't ever put an accent on the fourth to the last syllable.
Yep.
And so therefore, you have to add another accent and say keusite. So these get pronounced together because it's enclitic.
Makes sense.
So keusite, yeah. So ton straton keusite tas piras. Okay, so everything about this one makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, very good. Let's go ahead and do the Greek to English now. So, number one, does the divine free shooter himself sing these noble plans of the gods? Does the divine free shooter himself sing these noble plans of the gods? Okay, and then I'm going to do number two. Why is it not pleasing to these other gods who are in the sea? Okay, so yours again. Does the divine free shooter himself sing these noble plans of the gods? Just let me know if you need anything repeated. Does the divine free shooter himself sing? We can start with. Oh, whoops, I'm like writing your sentence. I'm like mixing the two sentences. All right.
Does the divine free shooter himself?
Okay, does the divine free shooter himself sing these noble plans? Sing these noble plans. Noble plans of the gods.
Oh, okay.
And then give me a question mark. Oh, you already got a question mark, but yeah. Okay, so. Who are in the sea?
Okay.
Whoops, I'm doing number four next. All right, so number three. That Achaean dishonors those gods. And I'll give you the rest once you get that. That Achaean dishonors those gods. Okay. And then I'm doing this free shooter sends many evil plagues up through. Oh, man, it's a long one. I'll start writing it here. Number four. This free shooter. This free shooter sends many evil plagues.
Does that Achaean?
What's that?
It's that Achaean, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. So that, well, no, what do you got going here? Because you're kind of doing two different, you should pick one.
Oh, I have to pick one.
And put it first. Why don't you just get rid of this and you can just use that. That's okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, the Kinos would probably be better because this might be more like this, but it's fine. Dishonors those gods. Okay, so. That's not everything.
Oh.
Erase that five. You got here. Here's the eraser. Yep. You're just getting started. I was just giving it to you in bite-size pieces here. So, okay. So that Achaean, and this is not a question,
okay,
that Achaean dishonors those gods of his fatherland, and the his you don't have to translate, so just say, that Achaean dishonors those gods of the fatherland who have these golden scepters. Who have these golden scepters? Because we're practicing using the relative pronoun.
Yeah. Is scepter neuter?
Yep, it is. So who have these golden scepters? Okay, think you got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so number 5. Who is burning those funeral pyres of the Achaeans by the terrible sea? So start with who is burning those funeral pyres, and then I got a big, long beast of a sentence for number 6. So I'll start writing that. This free shooter makes...
Who burns those funeral fires?
Okay, so who burns those funeral pyres of the Achaeans by the terrible sea? Of the Achaeans by the terrible sea. think we're in the ballpark here. All right, let's come back to this one. So let's go through them.
Yep.
Okay, so let's start right here. So number one, does the divine free shooter himself sing these noble plans of the gods? So the divine free shooter himself, does he sing these noble plans of the gods? Perfect. Yeah, I don't see any problems. Everything looks good, right?
Yep.
All right, cool. All right, so number two. Okay, why is it not pleasing to these other gods who are in the sea? Why is it not pleasing? Ti uch hanani, ti si ali si theisi, to these other gods, which en thalassi isin. See any problems?
Nope.
Everything good? All right, number three. So that Achaean dishonors those gods of his fatherland who have these golden scepters. So that Achaean, probably what they were looking for is Kinos Acheos, but that works. So that Achaean, Atimazi, dishonors those gods of the fatherland, Tis Patris. Okay, what was the last part we need? Who have these golden scepters? Who have these Hrysia Skiptra? Looks good to me. I don't see any issues. All right, very good. Okay, number four. Okay. This free shooter sends many evil plagues. So this free shooter, Oa Kivolos, Pebi Nusus Polas Kekakas, that was the use of Hendiadys, right? Many evil plagues. Up through the camp of the Achaeans and destroys countless peoples and destroys, right? Olekite,
yeah.
Apericius Laus, countless peoples, because they dishonor him, Unica Atimazusi Tone. And yeah, anything jumping out at you? What's bothering you?
Just,
you're making a face.
Just the breathing mark.
Well, yeah, a little breathing mark needed there. Very good. Okay, ready to move on?
Yep.
Okay, number five. Who is burning those funeral pyres of the Achaeans by the terrible sea? So who is burning those funeral pyres? I'm pretty sure that they, shouldn't the accent be on the...
Oh, tas piras, yes, sounds better.
Yeah, definitely. Tas piras acheon. Epiti Thalassi. So, by the terrible sea, Epiti Thalassi. Yeah.
And that's it?
You're going to need a Yoda subscript.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. And then, yeah, should be it. Okay, number six. So let's see how I did on number six here. This free shooter makes countless Achaeans. This free shooter makes countless Achaeans. Abudi, I use the plural. We could use the singular Elorion.
Yep.
But I used Eloria because a lot of times it's used in the plural like that. For the birds, right? Dative. Because they dishonor Unica Atimazusi, Tas Theas Kalas, these beautiful goddesses, Thalassis of the sea. Any issues?
Nope.
All right, that's it. We got through the exercises for Lesson 8, and we will see you in Lesson 9. All right, sorry, I forgot. Earlier when we were doing the Greek to English, we only went up through number 8. I forgot that I had a second page with a couple more. So let's just squeeze in a few last Greek to English exercises. Itheatis dinis Thalassis. Echi to skiptron chrysion.
The goddess of the terrible sea has the golden scepter.
Yeah, and you know, this makes me see that over here, you're probably going to need a circumflex on that. That's probably a circumflex, right? Okay, yeah. That's the dative, this is the genitive, but it's going to get a circumflex. I almost said something, but I was like, I don't know. Is it a circumflex? I thought it was, but... Yeah, it is. Okay. So, yeah, this goddess of the terrible sea has the golden scepter. All right, number 10. Eni ti patri sin epire.
In this fatherland, are these pyres.
Yeah, and you'd probably flip that around and you would say, like, these pyres are in our fatherland, or in this fatherland, right? Mm-hmm. So these funeral pyres are in this fatherland. And then number 11, tis tefri ton straton eloria tisin inisin.
Who makes the army a booty or prey to these birds?
Yeah, who makes the army a prey for these birds? All right, so now we are actually done, so we'll see you in lesson 9.